What a powerful word that is to be given to us. That way we have this grace in which we stand. We stand in the grace of God. We stand as we face life. We stand as we face everything that life has to throw at us. We stand in the grace of God. We stand through the grace of God, the gift of God given to us, so that we might live a life of power and strength. And part of that is due to the hope that God has given to us. Have you ever had the occasion to try to speak to someone about your Christianity, about your message, about your witness? Thank you, Bob, for your witness. Have you ever had that opportunity, even in passing, to someone who perhaps is going through a difficult time, to speak to them about the hope that God gives you in the face of every trial, and that indeed that is God's word to them at that time? I had an opportunity this past week with a young lady who came to the church, and she had lost all hope. She had lost every ounce, every part of hope. And so as I was talking to her, she told me, she said, "I feel like the entire world is laughing at me." She said, "I feel like the entire world knows exactly what I'm going through, that everyone knows." And she didn't say that just like you would say, like, "I know everybody feels like, you know, he made a mistake or he did something crazy." And she meant she utterly, completely believed that everyone knew her situation and that everyone was laughing at her because she had lost all hope. And so then I began to speak to her, but she, in the process, felt that I was not judging her, that I, in effect, was laughing at her in the midst of her pain. And I tried to convince her that I do not laugh at someone's pain and that everyone's a child of God and that you're loved by God. She had lost hope of the love of God as well, totally lost hope of the love of God, that God cared about her, that anyone cared about her, that only bad things would happen and bad things would continue to happen from that point on. And so I felt as though all my words were spoken in vain to her. And as I was speaking to her, she left in anger at the fact that I was just like everyone else and that all I wanted to do was laugh at her because I knew everything about her and everything that was going on. And as she left, I thought, well, was everything I tried to say to her in vain? The grace in which we stand teaches us that as we do the work of God, no matter what the result is, we might see immediately that if we do the work of God, our work is not in vain. That is the confidence that we have in God. Not the confidence we have in ourselves, but the confidence we have in God. That God is the God who is working through us in all things. God is the God who makes the difference in the world. God calls upon us to be vessels of that change and that difference and of grace and of love and acceptance and of salvation to the world. But God is the one who accomplishes that. You can understand in God's word how people acted and lived in confusing times, in times that were filled with terror and suffering and everything else, but their work was not in vain. Moses, his work was not in vain. He was able to present God to God's people. He was able to bring them to the brink of the promised land. He was able to give them the covenant. This is what you do if you desire to live a life that is pleasing to God. You listen to these Ten Commandments and you are God's people and you act as God's people. We can look at David and his life that was so filled with bloodshed and so filled with violence and so filled with defeats as well as victories. And we could say, was his life in vain? I'm sure at times David felt that his life was in vain. But we know that his life was not in vain. His work was not in vain because his work continues to be a witness to us this day and every day. Was Daniel facing the lion's den, surviving that time, was his life in vain? His life was not in vain. We have that power and that assurance of God's presence when we face the lion's den of our lives. We have that time when we know that God is with us no matter what, even if all the world is against us, even if the powers of the world are against us, that God is with us, and God will overcome all things because God is the only one who is all powerful. Our work is not in vain. Stephen, as he was there in the beginning of the early Christian church, there testifying to God in his death, you would say, wow, he died before even the church was formed. He died before he was able to fully complete witnessing to the risen Savior. Was his life in vain? Not hardly. His life, his death, his words continue to be a witness to us. That would be like saying that Christ died in vain for our sins because there's still evil in the world. Christ did not die in vain. Through Christ we have salvation. Through Christ we have the hope of everlasting life. Through Christ we have the victory that God has given to us. The scripture says, while we were still weak, while we were still weak, Christ died for us. While we were still weak, Christ died for the ones who are indeed sinners, for the ungodly, for us in the midst of our ungodliness. Christ died for us while we were still weak. But the interesting thing is, the thing that we have to understand is that we are weak no more. While we were still weak, the scripture says, Christ died for the ungodly. That means that through God's word, that God is telling us, you are weak no more. You are no longer weak. You have the presence, the power of God. Christ died, and we are made at one with God, at one with the one who is all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, filled with grace. This grace in which we stand as Christians, this grace assures us that we are not weak, that we have never been weak. As long as we're walking with God, we're walking with the source of life and power and strength throughout all eternity, going beyond time itself. Several years back, I broke my leg. I was playing kickball with my 2-year-old granddaughter in the driveway of my son's house, and I put my foot on top of the little round ball, and as I did, the ball decided to go this way, and my ankle decided to go that way, and I heard it crack as I fell, and she was standing over me laughing, and I was like, duh! So I went to the emergency room, and the doctor said, I don't think you've broken it. It's not really swelling up or anything. And so he took my foot, and he bended it this way, and he bent it that way, and he did all this stuff, and he said, does that hurt? I said, no, it's fine. I just heard it snap, and I thought it hurt like crazy. So I thought, maybe it's broken. He said, well, we'll do an x-ray. So he came back in the room, and he said, oh, yes, you broke your leg. He showed me the x-ray. It was like jagged bones this way and jagged bones this way. And I was thinking, I bet that bending thing wasn't such a good idea, was it? You know, but anyway. So then I was in a cast for basically 3 months. I was in like a wheelchair part of the time because I couldn't do crutches. I kept falling with the crutches, so they finally said, don't do crutches anymore. So I don't think I'm that uncoordinated, but anyway. But then, you know, and it was just this big rigmarole and all this stuff I had to go through. And then finally, went back to the doctor regularly, the orthopedic, and finally one day he said, taking off the cast. They took off the cast. And it had been 3 months of me going through this. I didn't have to have surgery, but 3 months going through this. They took off the cast. And then they said, walk on it. Now, I'd been walking on it with the cast and all this stuff, walking with a walker, you know, part of a shoe that they put on the cast so that I could walk after a month on it. But then without the cast, without the shoe, barefooted on the hard floor, the doctor said, now walk. And so I put my foot out and I went, I didn't trust it. I didn't trust that I could walk. I could put all my weight on this leg. And I was standing there, and the doctor said, go ahead, walk. It's healed. Go ahead, walk. Because we've taken x-rays, and the place that was broken so terribly has healed back. And he said to me, to try to give me back my confidence, he said, that part of your bone is stronger than regular bone, as you probably know. That part is, he said, you'll never break it there again. He said, that part's stronger than regular bone. He said, walk. And so then I started walking and realized it was fine. No pain, no discomfort. It was good to go. The only thing was, I wasn't good to go. I thought I was still weak. God does not make us weak. We may be broken. We may be broken, but we're never weak. We have the strength and power that God gives to us so that not only can we walk, but we can also run. We can run with confidence in what God has us to do. I heard this story when I was a child of this runner who had won, I guess, Olympic gold or whatever. And afterwards, they were praising him, and they were saying, what a great accomplishment. And they said, how did you do it? And he said, I told God that I would pick him up if you put him down. And he said, have you all heard that before? I love that story. I don't know who the runner was. But he said, I'll pick him up, Lord, if you put him down. And he won Olympic gold for doing that because he trusted in God. He knew that he was not weak if God was with him in the midst of what was happening, that God was not a weak God, that God is always with us no matter what, no matter where we are, no matter what we try to accomplish. We had a finance committee. There's our finance chair right back there. We had a finance committee meeting. At our finance committee meeting, we were looking at budgets and money and all this stuff. And it came up that the church, Bethesda, that we're behind giving on the budget, that we're behind for this part of the year on giving to the budget. And so then we started making strategies for what we will do. This finance committee, of course, is staffed by very capable, wonderful people that you may be sitting next to who are very dedicated to the work of the church and know that money is important for the work of the church, of course. And so we started making strategies for, you know, if this trend continues, then we'll need to do this and that and do this and that and the other. And I was there at the meeting, and I failed to say, why are we saying if the trend continues? Why don't we say God is the God of all things? God owns everything. God is the one who created all things. We turn to God in confidence. And we turn to God and we say, Lord, we need some more money. We need to make sure we're doing things in a physically responsible way so that your work continues, so that Bethesda goes from good to better to best. And that work must continue. And so, Lord, give us that. Why are we timid as Christians? So many times in our world, we are timid by definition as who we are. We define grace as something that is this wonderful, sweet, soft gift from God. But the scripture defines grace as that in which we stand as people, that in which we stand as we confront the world, that in which we stand no matter what happens to us. That the grace in which we stand is just that powerful. It causes us to move and to act without being timid. And the scripture, this passage says, we take pride, we boast in what God has done for us. We boast in what God has done for our world and for all people at all times. We boast in it because we take pride. You know, I love the fact that a group of lions are called a pride. A pride, you know, when you see lions, we think of them as the king of the beast, and that their group is called a pride. Because have you ever seen a timid lion? I think that's why they're called a pride. I don't really know. But I think that's why they're called a pride, because when a lion gets up and moves, they're not going out to hide behind a tree. They're going out to conquer. They're going out to conquer and make themselves known into the world to make a difference, a lasting difference, not just a timid or weak difference. As we confront this world that in many times feels as though it has no hope, as we confront those who have no hope in our world, we don't just tell them about God's love. We tell them about God's victory, about all that God has done, ways in which God continues to move and act and to make us strong, to remind us that this grace is how we stand as Christians in our world. Let us pray.